Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome to WDMV. Rocking you globally, but based right here in your nation's capital, Washington, D.C. In case you've been looking for me, you've just located me. This is your man, DJ Mr. E, and welcome to the DJ Mr. E Show. Something new, something nice, WDMV. Yeah. What we gonna do today and every day is we're gonna groove. The best smooth jazz on your internet is right here. Want to see those phone lines light up? Give me a call, 646-378-0763. Give me a call. Want to see the phone lines lighting up right now. Come on. Also, it's Blog Talk Radio. You know what that means. The chat room is wide open. Jump in there, www.blogtalkradio.com/WDMV, the indie dash story. Come on, go with me, y'all.
Thank you.
What's Your Indie Story? This is the DJ Mr. E Show, and I would like to say welcome. Welcome wherever you're calling from, wherever you're listening from, wherever you are. If you're under the sound of my voice, I just want to say welcome to WDMV and the best smooth jazz on the internet. This is the DJ Mr. E Show, and you've got your man DJ Mr. E, and we've got in the house with us a very good friend of mine, an international recording artist, Mr. Marcus Johnson. Let me get Marcus on here.
I'm hearing you. I don't know if I'm there.
MJ, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, dude. I'm here. I'm loving it, man. Love the groove you got, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man. Thank you for being on, man. We're going to play the music, man, today, and we're going to talk about flow, man. And I'm going to let you kind of pick the direction of where you want to start, man. Which one would you like to kick it off with? The brand new album, This Is How I Rock? Or you want to kick it off with Flow Fest?
Well, seeing as though you just played Come Together for the record, we can start right with the record, man.
Cool, man. Tell us a little bit, man. This is a listening to the album and looking at the album, man, it's several covers. So tell us what made you decide to do this album or this type of album.
Well, you know, honestly, E, I've been, this is number 15 for me altogether with the Flow Records. So, you know, you can continue to put out the same kind of funk, groove, jazz stuff with the vibe. And, you know, I mean, get a decent amount of sales and things like that. But what I really recognize, too, is that, you know, although I grew up in D.C., I also spent a lot of my time growing up in the suburbs. And at the school dance, we definitely listened to Rare Essence and EU and all the other bands and the hip-hop stuff. But we also listened to Duran Duran. Jamiroquai, Nirvana, you know, Steve Miller Band growing up. So I figured, you know, if everybody, and you know what I mean by everybody, can pop off and be like, hey, you know, I want to be funky. Well, hey, look, let me jump over to the other side and see what I can do with some of the other things that influenced my musical taste as I was growing up.
And that was going to be one of my questions, man. What I'm sure you get this question a lot. Who were some of your influences as you were growing up?
Well, it's kind of funny. I did something for this magazine in D.C. called Capitol File today, and they were asking me, like, who was my most influential musician in my life? And besides my mom, who played piano, there was my band director. And I learned a lot from him about music and business. Ray Harry from Blair High School. Back in the day, I mean, you know, my contemporary inspirations, I mean, you have to be like all my boys, George Duke, Stanley Clark, Marcus Miller, you know, I love Brian Culberson's live show, you know, there's so much. I mean, Esperanza Spalding is incredible, yeah, so, you know, you have, there's so many. I get my inspiration from everywhere. I was listening to the first track you were, that you used as a bed when you came into the intro for the show. And,
uh-huh.
You know, I'm listening to the drummer, and I'm like, yeah, okay, small boy, and he's doing his thing. So I can get inspiration off of anything. I'm open all the time.
Cool. Now, like your music, like this album is a little different from all of the other albums that you've done. Are there two Marcus Johnsons? Are there two different Marcus Johnsons?
Nah. You know, I don't think they're two different Marcus Johnsons. But I don't know. I mean, you know, when you see me playing the stuff, I mean, I'm still, you know, I play with the facilities that I have. You know, I always tell people I'm by far not the best keyboard player on the planet, and I know my limitations, and I do what I do. I use my voice, and I sing the way that I can. So you'll hear some familiar things, but the other thing that you'll hear is just the other influences. I mean, you know, on Fly Like an Eagle, Steve Miller Band, Justin Young, and the guitar on that, or, you know, and Nirvana Smell Like Teen Spirit, you know, we have a whole different vibe going on. But, you know, I mean, last night, I was at Utopia downtown in D.C., and I was with one of my buddies, DJ, was Young Pulse from France, and he's working with me for a year, and we did some drum and bass and Euro club stuff, and the people were in there dancing and losing their minds. He's scratching, and I'm playing like kind of lounge, a lounge vibe, and there's a sax player, Nadi Rico, from also from France. who's playing saxophone. So, you know, you would not have necessarily known that it was us or Marcus Johnson walking in the club. But when you get in there and you hear what we do, you know, it's just continuing in many different ways to make people move their necks back and forth.
Cool, cool. Now, MJ, you and I are friends, man, so this is not just like a radio interview. We're just going to kick it, man. So I consider you, you're my friend, and I consider you successful, man. So just briefly, man, what do you believe that your formula for success has been? Because I mean, I've seen you perform live. I've listened to your music. I mean, I follow your career, man, and I deem you a success, brother. So what do you believe your magic formula for success has been so far?
And no, there is no magic formula besides the miracle of getting up this morning, and that's God, and then getting out here and working your behind off. I mean, you know, we're doing the rock stuff. You know, we have a new Flow Chill project, you know, coming out. I don't know if we're going to call it Flow Chill or something else right now for the lounge music. I mean, you know, I was up till 4:30 this morning, and it wasn't just out playing and you know, being big man on the block. It's working. The night before that, it was 4:30. The night before that, it was 7 a.m. coming out of Blue Valley and then going and hitting some of the spots to kind of keep everything going with Pulse. So, you know, it's relentlessness, man. I teach my class. I think we talked about this in the last interview at Bowie State, and it's entrepreneurship and business development for artists. And I teach using the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Absolutely.
I make the students get the 1937 version so that they understand the similarities of what they were going through towards the end of the Depression and what they're going through, you know, now. Or what we're going through right now. And, you know, the thing that Napoleon Hill starts off with is, number one, a desire. And inherent in desire, chapter 2, chapter 3 is faith. But inherent in desire is the idea that you can do it. You can write down a desire statement, meaning what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, what you're going to sacrifice and give up to get there, and what tools you're going to do use to get there. And then the date, pick a date that you will be there. That implies a lot of faith, and then the next thing is persistence. And between, you know, Napoleon Hill and Paulo Coelho and The Alchemist, you know, they ask the question whether or not failure is necessary. And Paulo Coelho says, you know, whether it's necessary or not, it's inevitable. And the key to success is to fall down 7 times and to get up 8. Well, I tell you, I've been knocked down and around about 300,000 times. And I could get knocked down 300 more thousand times, and that means I will get up 600,001 times. I mean, it's just what we do. And I know I've read my purpose-driven life daily inspirations today, and the whole idea is that the second day is, you know, you're not an accident. And the idea that, you know, there's a mission here for God, and it's been written since before you were born. I mean, that's what they talk about. When you really understand stuff like that, man, you go out here and you work your butt off. And that's what I know. I know that one thing is true. You won't outthink me, and you will not outwork me. And you may think as well as me, and you may work as hard as me, but you will not outthink me, and you will not outwork me. And if you get me today, I'm coming back tomorrow.
Wow, that's cool, man. You have to keep doing that, bro. Hey, man, the album drops on the 27th. We did come together. That was the first track I played after the intro. I'm going to do a little bit. Tell me how you decided to do these tracks, man. I'm going to play Masculinada.
Masculinada.
And I'm going to play Rock. Say again?
I said featuring my girl, Mesa.
Yeah, Miss Mesa. And Mesa's from Baltimore, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, Masculinada and Rise, man. Just in your choosing of the songs, how did you decide? Because, you know, I know there are a million songs going through your head when you decided to do this album. How did you pick these particular songs?
The first, you know, this is what we figured out is going to be the first volume of many. This is How I Rock. And I just thought about the songs that I loved to listen to growing up. When my mom picked me up, we were listening to WASH. and every once in a while to, you know, WKYS. So I was sneaking in listening to KYS and trying to hear Air Raid talking to me and things like that, you know, on my own time. But with the easy listening stations, man, I grew up with, again, Herb Alpert Rise. I grew up with the Miller Band. I grew up with stuff like Kenny Rogers, man. I think about the songs that people know the words to today versus, like, me growing up knowing you better know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run, you know. And that's good old Kenny Rogers, Ann Murray, things that, you know, people have forgotten about and that you don't think most African Americans, young black males, you know, were exposed to. So, you know, get that. That's, these are songs I listen to, period.
And, brother, we listen to the same songs because as I was listening to the album, I was like, damn, I remember that. I know where I was, you know, during that time when it was hot. So let's play some music, man. You're going to hang around for a little while, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, man, let's play a couple of tracks.
Go for it. Thank you.
WDV, the guy, DJ Mr. E. We're on with my friend, my mentor, Mr. Marcus Johnson. Hey, man, that's just good music, man. I don't know what else to call it. That's just good, feel-good music. I remember when Herb Albert originally did that track. Man, I liked it then, and I like it even more now, bro. Thank you for redoing it.
Hey, man, thank you very much, E. It's kind of funny. I was sitting here listening to it. I don't take any kind of credit for what I do. I give it all to God anyway, so I can laugh a little bit at it. But I think about just like growing up and my mom rolling down the windows and, you know, summertime coming from school, waiting to go home and play with your friends, or, you know, waiting to get back to school the next morning and see that girl you liked when you were like, you know, in the fifth grade and everything else like that, man. It brings back so many good memories. And hopefully we can use some of this stuff. I mean, symbolic in the title of Rise, man. It's just like, it's feel good. It's about, you know, in this era, it's about creating ourselves, dude. No more finding, no more, you know, I need to find the next thing. I need to find the right person. The right thing is right in front of you, or right inside of you, actually. And tapping into that and just getting back to the feel good, smiling, it's going to be okay kind of vibe, man. That's it.
Hey, man, this is what I want, man. And I know that you can do it, and this is just my request for the next album, man. Because I've seen you in concert, and you'll take a track, man, and you'll jam on that joke for 8 to 10 minutes, man. But like, I say this because I had a guest on recently, and he had tracks that were 8 to 10 minutes long on the LP, and I just love hearing your music so much, man. I'm just requesting that on the next joint, man. You remember how Isaac Hayes used to put out an album and it'd be like 4 tracks on there?
Yeah.
But they were all grooving. They were like 12 minutes long, but they were getting down, man. I love that. I'm looking for that for you from the future, man.
Oh, dude, you know, we'll do a little live joint. I mean, there's so much stuff happening right now. It's really exciting. And, you know, the crazy thing about it, though, is back in the day, this is what people did for entertainment, to listen to music. Us musicians are under a little pressure as it relates to making money selling records. The music industry has kind of changed into a live performance kind of thing with merchandise supporting it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's cool for me. We just record our live tracks, but technology has made it so easy to do that, you know, that's the way to go, man. And you, like you said, you'll see me at OZO's, the 21st Amendment, or Blues Alley. And I want to thank everybody that came to Blues this past weekend. I mean, in a rough economy, where they're like, oh, my God, you're playing in D.C. too much. We've only sold this many tickets. You know, we beat our percentage yet for the infinite of, you know, time. And I just have to say thank you, because Blues Alley is not inexpensive. And people came out, sold out shows Saturday, Sunday. And a 10 o'clock show on Sunday, our last one, Sunday night, midnight, was packed. And I thank you all for that. So that's why we're doing Flow Fest.
Cool. And we're going to talk about Flow Fest. And I asked you this question the last time you were on. I'm going to ask you, man, do you think that you get the love that you deserve here at home, or do you think you get more love as you venture out to the different cities and countries, because you're doing Germany and all of these other places? Do you think that, you know, being a local product, that you get the love that you deserve from the fans here?
From the fans, yes, yes. From the establishment, absolutely not.
All right. That's the question then. Talk about that. Yeah. Talk about the establishment.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the reasons that the D.C. music scene hasn't ever been able to get, it hasn't gotten its due justice, is because the people that write about it and write the editorial have a preconceived notion about what music should be. And they feel if you're not doing their music or playing it in a certain style that they like, that you're not really performing. And although you've had that throughout, you know, humanity, it's amazing how New York wraps up New York people. L.A., because they just have all the PR there, there's so much, wraps it up. Atlanta's scene was basically built on the fact that, you know, good old Southern people supporting good old Southern people doing whatever kind of music, from, you know, Little John on down. So you got people supporting Little John going, ugh, and all that kind of stuff. But then you have in D.C., you know, a young I would even put it out there, black entrepreneur in the community, working hard. I don't have a rich uncle. I don't have a rich father. You know, people always say, well, you have Bob Johnson money. That is so long ago, 10 years ago. I mean, that it's amazing the ignorance that you deal with in this industry. And, you know, I literally invested millions of dollars in the people that I thought had great talent. And, you know, I still believe that they have talent. But, you know, when I get you 31 spins a week on BET, or I get your record to number 2, you know, on Billboard and on the radio, and you tell me, well, you know, I need just a little bit more, or I'm going to go to a lip-syncing television show, but you have to take my band, which is $20,000 to get everybody on the plane, and
right. Now you're
going to throw a temper tantrum. I can do a performance at the Kennedy Center, and you have a standing ovation, but you leave without saying thank you. It's just a little bit on the crazy side. And the other thing about D.C., the musicians in general have music as an avocation. And when I go to L.A., I don't have problems with anybody showing up on time. I don't have problems with anybody leaving a snare drum. I had a guy, we did a gig in Baltimore, he forgot his drum set.
How is that possible?
You can ask him. but I'm supposed to understand, well, I was running and I had to do this and this and this, and I thought I had my set in the car. Okay, I've had dudes here forget their drumsticks. I mean, I can go down to where you're like, what? And, you know, you take a lot of blows being in D.C. That being said, the saving grace for D.C. is that it has a very savvy listening audience that will support you every week. They will come out every week to support you. They will buy, if you say, I have some Marcus Johnson bubble gum, they'll be like, man, shucks, give me $3 worth, you know, enough. It's almost like a old school rent party, you know what I mean? And, you know, but this area has a lot to learn about the sophistication in collaborative efforts and synergistic efforts and not hating. And it's not even me. I see these guys do this to each other here where, you know, they don't work together. One band has to be better than the other. So-and-so talk to so-and-so's girl, you know, and then talk to so-and-so's other girl. And, you know, it's a catty town. So, you know, although, again, there's a certain level of sophistication here, I think you have to be slyer here than in most cities in the world. Now, that being said, when I go down to Florida and I talk to Senator so-and-so, and he's like, dude, you have a JD and an MBA from Georgetown? And
mm-hmm.
We're sitting in the middle of a meeting, and he's like, do you all understand what this means? Let me tell you what this means. And this is a senator, and you know what I mean when I say this, that doesn't look anything like you and I, Eric.
Right.
For you to have gotten into that school, number one, is amazing. For you to be a law fellow, meaning I taught students at the age of 22 that were over twice my age, you know, 21 students, and then for you to actually get out of a joint degree program and then become an entrepreneur, let me tell you, I can tell you already what this means for this guy. You go to L.A., it's the same thing. You go to New York, there's an understanding of what it takes. D.C., there are a lot of people who have a lot of degrees, and that, you know, and a lot of them want to just get paid because they have degrees, and then people think that because they have a government job or a secure job, that means that, hey, well, I make this much at the United States Postal Service, you know, so I should be able to get this much money when I go out and play, you know, a gig in the evening. The issue is two totally different businesses. So you get paid on your gig as it relates to music based on what you bring through the door. And it's not about your ego. It's not about how many scales you can play. If you ask me, look at me with 15 CDs, it's not about the amount of CDs that you put out. It is about whether or not you go out there and grind and can get 250 people into you know, 21st Amendment every Thursday at the Holiday Inn and make it work for them where it's worth it for you to be there as much as possible.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Is merchandising, because of the way the economy is and the way that, that's a lot of artists market themselves and the way that they just do business, is merchandising absolutely necessary now to make money? I know that live shows are, but is merchandising now a part of the business?
Of course. I mean, merchandising has always been a part of the business. Remember, the Grateful Dead never had a number one record, but their average tour brought in $100 million.
Wow.
So let me say, I'll say that again. They never had a number one record. They were always independent, but their average tour brought in $100 million. So when we go to stuff like Flow Fest, this thing we're doing at the winery at Tarara next Saturday, the 24th, I'm looking at Bonnaroo. Like Bonnaroo, the people at Bonnaroo, which is the Woodstock of the Midwest in Tennessee, they made $30 million over a weekend.
Wow.
Let me say that again. $30 million over a weekend. So when I look at Flow Fest and what we're doing with our Flow brands and our wine, you know, it's about a lifestyle. It's about creating stuff. It's not, oh, you know, marketing, she's all this because you got wine and you trying to do this and da da da. That is the least thing on my mind. What I'm trying to do, I am in the service industry. If you like wine, here you go. If you like my CDs, here you go. If you like the way I play, here you go. If you want to come and experience all of this in a nice setting, then be there on July 24th at Tarara Winery in Leesburg, Virginia, where we have 7 bands and a bunch of different music, pouring our wine, selling our CDs, and having a great old time. And if you think that's it, you know, you and I are talking about the whole idea of the club concept, and that looks like it's a reality, and I'm excited about that, having our own spot. But, you know, the thing is, again, nobody is going to give this to us. That's what Jerry Garcia and those guys understood back in the day.
Right.
Nobody
right.
was going to give them anything. You know, we have people, you know, that are like, well, I deserve this because I sound like this. You don't deserve anything. If you don't get out there and get to the people, you're going to be a bitter person, musician, whatever. And I think that this is a lesson that we've lost in the idea of, you know, my space, I this, I that, I this, I that, my this, my that. It's not just about you. In the context of your lifestyle, yes, but when you have relationships and you live in a world where you connect with other people, it really is about reciprocation. And that's what most of the people, I think, nowadays in the United States just don't get. They really believe that this is their country. You know, they don't look at this guy as their president, you know, or hey, let me grab onto this guy's coattails and push him further so we can get, you know, where we need to go. You know, I played football, and I was a running back. Every once in a while, I got behind my tight end, and when I saw an opening and there was somebody right there, I would push behind him into the guy, jump over him, and make my move to go out to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you use what you have to use in a respective way. When I got tackled, he was the first person that would get me up. If he was down, I would brush over and get him up. Reciprocation, caring, respect, things that, you know, I think that we have absolutely, totally lost. Not even if you don't even want to talk about self-respect, you know. I mean, what are you doing for yourself? What are you doing to make yourself better? What are you doing to be a what socially redemptive type of activities are you doing in the community? You know, what are you doing besides the stuff that's all about you, the scales you play, the job you have, you know, the man or woman that you are, to make somebody else smile? Because I guarantee you the idea of giving and getting is very true. You take care of people enough, you will be taken care of.
All right, let me ask you a couple questions really quick, and we're going to get back to some music. You mentioned some things that are very near and dear to my heart, but we're going to talk about you for a minute. Are you politically active right now?
Not yet. Yeah, I mean, I speak, you know, where I can, and I'm very careful not to say, you know, whether there are aspirations there to do other things or not like that.
But MJ, I'm gonna need something that hasn't been said somewhere else, man. I mean, just are you politically active? Let me ask that question one more time, man, and I need you to answer it. And give me an answer that I want the truth, of course, but give me an answer that you haven't given any of the other stations, man. I need breaking news right now.
Marcus Johnson has significant public service aspirations.
Cool. I want presidency. I just needed to hear you say it. I that's cool, man. Now, we know that you do a lot of volunteer work. One of your favorite charities are the Boys and Girls Club, right?
Oh, definitely.
But you have others that you do. I mean, because we're listening to you, and everybody out there that's listening from wherever they are, I just want to make sure that, you know, the things that you're saying, they know that you're backing them up, man. But I know that for a fact that you do a lot of things for a lot of people, and you don't do it for the recognition. You don't do it because you're Marcus Johnson, the musician. You do it because you're Marcus Johnson, the person. And I've known him for a while, and so I applaud you for a lot of things that you do. We're going to talk about the Flow Fest in a couple of seconds, man, but I'm going to play a couple of tracks from the LP, and just to give the people a little music, I want to make sure that when the album drops on the 27th, they can get the album. Now, before I do that, I know that you and our motto here at WDMV is "What's Your Indie Story." So I know that you're an independent artist, man. Give us just real briefly, what do you think about the record labels and how they treat the artists?
Honestly, number one, I think the term record label is a thing of the past. Hopefully, musicians are starting to understand that. I think the best thing for people to do and musicians to start thinking of them as marketing companies and sales companies. The way that they treat them, I don't even think most record companies have come to grips with the fact that, you know, Spencer, I can't think of the guy's name, that did "Who Moved My Cheese." They haven't recognized that the cheese has moved. They still have their head in the sand, and they're wondering who moved my cheese. The small indies, it is our time. These are where, you know, we are creating the new battle lines. We are the new pioneers. We're out there with our machetes, and we're cutting the brave new path. Now, that is a little more difficult than sitting back and getting money from a label like it used to be. The labels don't have the money anymore. I mean, I had somebody come up to me last night and was like, "Oh, Marcus, you know, I know you're making dough and this, that, and the other, and, you know, I did this back in the day." And I'm like, do you actually think we made money? You know, I mean, people actually think that you know, although I may look nice sometimes, but I will go to Target like the rest of them. I may have 7 jeans on, brother, but I will go to Off-Fifth to get them. I may go to Filene's Basement. These are the shopping secrets of the real brothers and sisters out there. I am not paying $191. I will never pay $191 for a pair of jeans. I'm just not doing it. Now, I will find a little corner place to get it, but that's indie. That is what being an indie is. You can look a certain part. I still drive my Chevrolet Suburban, although after all this hard work, if I can this Christmas, I'm getting myself something different. You know,
right.
But I'm just to keep it real, man, this is a grind. These record companies don't know what they're doing. And they don't have the pull anymore because the market is so fragmented. So now these small companies with these great technologies are coming in, and the artists that are willing to go into, you know, do like us and amass 60,000, 70,000 names worldwide, where I can fill, you know, a 2,000, 3,000 person place and make that money on my own and then, you know, take care of my staff and whatever, you know, we can do that. But then on the other side of it is, but you got to pay for the place. You got to pay for the band. You got to pay for the food. You got to pay for the general concessionaire. You have to pay for the marketing. Everybody just wants to look at the facade. I mean, there's somebody who's really special to me, but she always looked at the facade of everything. You know what I mean? I was like, why don't you look beyond the facade? Why don't you look to the deeper issues of what's going on here? This is hard, but you know what? That's being an indie. And I'll tell you, this great country was created by who? Indies. People who said, guess what? we need to get on up out of here, create a new market of our own. Now, they may have done some things that weren't so scrupulous, like slavery and things like that, but they were still indie dogs. When
right,
they got here,
right.
Their life was not easy. They were fighting bears and foxes and, you know, bacteria, new diseases, everything like that. And they got their stuff together indie style. That's what we got to do.
All right, cool. Dan, so we're going to take some music. I promise we're going to take one quick call before we take some music. Area code 303, last 4-2322. You're on with DJ Mr. E and Mr. Marcus Johnson.
What's going on, Marcus?
What's up, man?
You should already know who this voice is.
Wait a minute. I don't,
Keith,
but I know
man.
I know the voice.
It's Keith, bro. What's going on?
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Just heard you on the radio. I'm online here on the blog radio. Just wanted to say how you see how you was doing, how things going out there. See, you got it going on out there at the Blues Alley.
Oh, man, it was great. This is Keith, and Keith is out of Denver, and he brought me in for his birthday party. We had a great time at a club called the Twisted Olive. That was
Twisted
a few months
Olive.
Ago. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
And it was, Oh, dude, I'm hanging in there, man. Excited about the new release and playing. Looking forward to trying to get back out to Denver one day real soon.
Well, you know, I'll work on it. When you releasing it?
July 27th.
July 27th. I'll be looking. Well, actually, yeah, I'll be looking for it.
Hey, Keith. I'm sorry, MJ. Keith, thanks for calling, man. I want you to keep listening, man. We're going to play a couple of tracks from the LP now, man.
It's all good. Hey, I sent all my email stuff to you, so next time you got something on the talk radio, shoot it to me, my man. Now, is this blog out of D.C.?
Yes, it is. I'm right here in Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, I'm from there. Lived off of Knife and Tewksbury, Northwest, so it's all good. Marcus, be safe. I love you, man. I know you're going to keep it pushing. Keep God on your side.
Always, dude. I appreciate you, too. You know that. Big hug to you, all right?
All right, bro.
All right, man.
All right, guys. MJ, hang on, bro. Let's play Fly Like an Eagle, and then I can't go for that, man. Good music.
That's bro.
Thank you.
WDMV, what's your indie story? It's the DJ Mr. E Show. We're on with my friend, my mentor, Mr. Marcus Johnson. MJ, you there, brother?
I'm right here.
All right, cool, man. Listen, played a couple of tracks from the brand new LP, This Is How I Rock. Album drops on the 27th of this month. Tell us a little bit about Flow Fest, man. Flow Fest. I want to just go to Flow Fest right now. I want to go to Flow Fest, and I want to talk about the wine. D, I see you there, bro. I'm coming to you in a second. But tell me a little bit about Flow Fest, MJ.
Well, Flow Fest happens this July 24th at Tarara Winery, which is in Leesburg, Virginia. We're going to have a full day of music and wine. And I say music because everything from what I do, there's a group called Jukebox the Ghost, that's more alternative. We have Lucky Dub, which is more of a kind of reggae kind of flavor. I laugh, I tell people, let Cliff do the Capital Jazz Fest, he's doing a great job with that. I want my East Coast Bonnaroo. That's my vibe. So eventually, you know, we'll have a little jazz, a little, you know, R&B, a little alternative. Hey, I want to be able to afford Dave Matthews to come in, you know what I mean? So, but this 24th, we'll have seven groups. Doors open at noon, and the music starts at 2. It'll go to about 10:30. Tarara is a 500-acre vineyard right off the banks of the Potomac. They have a lakeside pavilion where it's a natural hill. They built a stage with the covering that goes right, looks right into the lake. And you can come in. We'll be pouring our flow wine all day. Food will be provided by Chef Malcolm Mitchell. And I am just really looking forward to having a great day. I don't know what else to say. We'll have merchandise. Everybody will have merchandise. Bring your friends, family. They have a picnic area if you don't want to be right by. Be a music. They have their own tasting room. So if you want the wine, you want to buy some flow wine, that's great. If you'd like to get some other additional Tarara wines, that's great. Actually, Flow Fest will be the first time we have our Flow Sangria. So not just the white and the red, but we'll have a little something sweet for you to be able to take and enjoy the rest of the nice, hopefully warm, sunny, I'm praying, today, and great music.
Because it's been in the planning stages since day one, and it's an event, you kind of paralleled it with Capital Jazz Fest, man. I'm excited as hell about what you're doing, brother. You got your own festival, you have your own wine, and you doing it the way that you want to do it, man. Artists, there are other artists out there, man, that would cut off the pinky toe to be able to have their own festival and their own wine, man. So, I mean, I appreciate you being humble, MJ, man. But what's that Flow Fest, man? That's off the chain, brother. That is like something that you need to be very proud of. And I understand your humility about it, man. But that is a great project and a great venture, man. And I applaud you for that.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. And if you see my pinky toe anywhere, you let me know so I can get it sewn back on. Because I tell you, boy, you might find my arm right next to it, too. Because it's one of those things, if you don't go out on faith, you're not going to go out at all. And we're able to have a great relationship with Tarara, and we've been doing a lot of events, and people love the wine. Looks like we're going to be in Wegmans and Harris Teeter very soon. And for those of you all who don't know what FLOW stands for, FLO, for the love of, we put out our CDs, we put out our wine, we have our FLOW Fest, and, it's absolutely exciting.
And for those people that are coming from out of town, you also have a hookup for hotels. I mean, go ahead and put that out there.
Yeah, if you're coming in from out of town, there's a hookup at Lansdowne Resort. We have a special rate there. And if you like golf and like looking out at the water and an incredibly beautiful resort, Lansdowne is the one. And I would recommend that you make it a weekend for you and your significant other. Or yourself, you know what I'm saying? You know, I've been going through some stuff lately, so I am doing a lot of things on my own now. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Turning off the radio, going somewhere, getting MJ or Big E, DJ E, yeah, spa day. You by yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with it. You know what I mean? But their spa is award-winning. I went there to check it out. Incredible. Next year, we're probably going to expand the relationship and have a golf tournament. They have a Greg Norman course, which is out of this world. And then they have a oh, my God, it's not a TPC. I can't think of the other one. RTJ, Robert Trent Jones golf course as well, designed. So 36 holes of golf, the clubhouse is second to none. And probably they'll get a PGA stop there very soon. But great resort at Lansdowne. But, I mean, the main thing is you can go 15 minutes up the street and have this great wine experience and music experience and brotherhood, sisterhood experience, meet new people. And people are buying tickets like 10 at a time. And
right.
If you get them right now, tickets are going to go up next week. It is next Saturday. Tickets at the door are 30. Right now you can get them for $15. So, you know, I'm trying to let people, you know, keep the momentum going. But, yeah, we have people coming in at 10 and 15 at a time, which is great. Because that means, you know, our girl and her girls and my boy and his boys, you know, you bring your friends, I bring my friends, we all be friends.
Biggie.
Not reserved. Yeah, it ain't reserved for Biggie. You know what I'm saying? We can do it in the jazz stuff too, baby boy. So, you know, yeah, it's an exciting venture, and it's a long-term play for me. But as is all the stuff with Flo and all the stuff with This Is How I Rock, and I just thank God for the ideas that he puts in my head so that we can come up with brands, which is what this is about. But July 24th, you know, you'll get them. You can get your tickets. The easiest way to find it, it's an Eventbrite page, but the easiest way to find it is if you go to Google, since most of, well, everybody's listening online right now, you go to Google, put in Marcus Johnson, Facebook, and FlowFest, one word, FLOFEST, and it'll take you to our Facebook page. You click the link, and you can buy tickets right there.
Cool. Can they also pre-order the album right there?
You can pre-order. No, but you can pre-order the album at iTunes.
All right. We want to make sure that all of the people that are out there listening, I mean, I know we've been chatting a lot, man, but we play some good music too. But we've only played like 5 songs, man, in like an hour and 15 minutes. But it's all good, bro.
Never said I was short on words, you know what I mean?
It's all good, man. But listen, we got about 45 minutes left, so we got plenty of time, man. So we're going to play a couple of more tracks. I want people to go out to FlowFest, man. Now, just one question about FlowFest. Is it like the Capital Jazz Festival? Should they bring their lawn chairs? Should they bring their blankets? Should they bring with it being a winery, you can't bring your cooler or anything in, right?
Well, you can't bring your wine cooler in, but you can bring a cooler in.
Oh, you can bring coolers in? Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you know, we will have food there for you to purchase. We'll have a food vendor, like I said, Chef Malcolm Mitchell has a great menu of things that you can purchase. And I would come as light as possible because we will have all that stuff there, but bring your blanket, bring your lawn chair with your umbrella. You can bring a tent, but we're going to ask that people keep those closer to the back because it's not as big as Merriweather Post Pavilion. It's a fraction of the size, actually. But, you know, you don't want to put the tents up where people can't see it and see the performances. So the lawn chair, a blanket, your significant other, family, you know, it's a great spot to just, it's great. And when you go to that Facebook page, I took some photos. I call myself a BlackBerry photo journalist. And, you know, you'll see all the pictures from the winery and the different pavilions, the lake and things of that nature.
One last question before I play music. I forgot. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. I kind of recognize everything on the LP. I'm going back to the LP real quick, but we're going to get back to the wine fest, to the festival. But Smells Like Teen Spirit. Never heard that song. Where is that from?
Nirvana. Kurt Cobain, the group out of Seattle. And you haven't heard of it, but when you hear it, you'll know it. It's one of those, like, you heard somebody else playing it, and, you know, you're like, wow, that's a little different. But the chord progression got me. So that's, you know, how I flipped it. And I was like, I'm going to do this. People were like, how the hell are you going to do Nirvana? And I guess you're about to play it.
Yep, I'm going to play Smells Like Spirit, and then we're going to play one of my favorites on the LP. Thank you for letting me be myself. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on with Mr. Marcus Johnson. The album drops on the 27th. Go to iTunes, pick it up. Make sure that you go to the Facebook page and check out the Flow Fest. Support this brother. Let's do it. Let's play some music right now, though.
Thank you.
Mutual Insanity, Jamiroquai, WDMV, it's yours truly, DJ Mr. E, my friend, my mentor, Mr. Marcus Johnson. MJ's getting ready to get out of here, y'all, but we're going to bring him back on just for a second. There you go. MJ, you're on the air.
I am here, my man. Definitely. E, thank you so much, dude. It's good to listen to some of the new and the old, a little chillaxing in there. Very exciting.
Yes, sir.
And I thank you for your support, dude. You're a big brother I never had. You know what I mean?
Always, man. Anything that you need, brother, if I do it, you can get it. And vice versa, man. So go ahead, take care of your obligations. One more time, man. Tell people where to get those Flow Fest tickets and tell people where to get the new LP.
The Flow Fest. Flow Fest is July 24th at Tararo Winery. That's in Leesburg, Virginia. The best way to get the link is to Google Marcus Johnson Facebook and Flow Fest, all one word, F-L-O. Just remember, for the love of Flow Fest. And it'll take you to our Flow Fest Facebook page, and everything is there. You'll see pictures of the vineyard. You'll see people talking about it, and you'll see the link to where you can go buy the stuff. So I'm really excited about that. And then the record comes out 3 days later. But I guarantee you, if you come to Flow Fest, you'll be able to pick up This Is How I Rock. It'll be out the 27th. It's actually available as of tomorrow on iTunes for pre-orders. And, you know, hey, This Is How I Rock and Flow Fest. We're going to put it out there for you all. And get your tickets now for Flow Fest because they're only $15. It will be going up next week, and it's double that at the door. So get some friends and friends and friends, and let's grab a ball.
Hey, man, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and hang out with us for like an hour and 40 minutes, man. That's incredible because I know you got other stuff to do, bro. So thank you, man. I'll do everything I can to make sure the album is another number one success, bro.
Hey, man, I appreciate you and everybody out there listening and supporting. And, hey, let's keep on doing it.
MJ, talk to you soon, man. Go handle your business.
All right, brother. Thanks much, E.
All right, peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that was my brother, my friend, Mr. Marcus Johnson. We got about 20 minutes left, man. I want to see my phone lines light up. Those of you that are out there listening on your computers, call me, 646-378-0763. It's a free call. Just call. I don't care if you have absolutely nothing to talk about. Just call and say, hey, 646-378-0763. Give me a call. Hey, DMV, it's yours truly, DJ Mr. E. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Hey, Bill, I see you. My website developer, Bill, is listening, man. I wish you if I could get her website out, I'd give it to you real quick, but I cannot right now, but I'll get it to you.
I really got you. that move I like. That's it. That's it. Now bring those horns in.
Eric Nolan Grant of the OJs, who's getting ready to come out with a solo project. So again, it's DJ Mr. E Show, man. Please, please, please don't forget next Tuesday night we're going to be doing the same thing right here. But tomorrow night, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, please support me at my happy hour. I will be at Harmony Lounge. Harmony Lounge, which is at 2001 11th Street Northwest, which is on the corner of 11th and U. I got it from 5 p.m. until 12 midnight. I will be the DJ. DJ Mello T will be the host. We got a model call. We got $5 drinks all night long from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. So come on down and check us out at Harmony Lounge, man. We're doing a little thing. For those of you that don't know, here in the Washington, D.C. area, we had lost one of our major music makers, Little Benny. So we're going to do a tribute to Little Benny tomorrow from 5 p.m. till 12 midnight at Harmony Lounge. So if you're in the D.C. area, please come on through and check us out, man. This is how we do it. It's yours truly, DJ Mr. E, signing off for the evening. But I will see you tomorrow night at Harmony, and I will see you next Tuesday night right here on WDMV.